Well, I think it's such an honour in one respect. I said this to Nigel before Christmas, that it's very unusual for the past and not to kick off the new year with a message, as it were. And I count it a privilege. And I must admit, I have struggled with this message. And as I go through the verses, you'll understand probably why I've struggled with it. But I do believe God's given me something for us as a church to challenge us. So I hope you've come ready to be challenged this morning. I hope also that you've come looking to be made a little bit uncomfortable, because God wants to do something in our lives this year as much as he did last year. And he wants us to take us further, if you like, with him. And sometimes always, it requires change in our lives. It requires us doing things. It requires us being obedient to what the Holy Spirit's saying in our lives, that we would say, God, I'm willing. I'm willing for that. And it's important for us to have an attitude like that as we start out on a year like 2019. I do believe that God wants to do wonderful things amongst us, but it will require us making decisions as we go along, as God works in our hearts. Before I start this morning, I've noticed there's an awful lot of people going around sniffing and coughing. So I'm going to pray God can come and heal you, that those viruses, whatever it is that's around you, will be broken, and that you'll be set free of those things today, and that you'll already feel, even as you leave the service this morning, God is beginning to bring healing into your bodies. So if that's you this morning, and just be open to God now as I just pray the Holy Spirit come and just touch your lives, yeah? Lord God, I just pray now that your healing power would be amongst us now. I just pray, Lord God, for all those carrying viruses, carrying any illness of any kind. I just pray in Jesus' name, be healed now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. It's one thing God's challenged with me. I think sometimes we pray too long when we're praying for healing. We should just pray in Jesus' name. We've talked about Jesus' name this morning, and Jesus' name is all powerful. Yeah. He can do much more than sometimes we think or imagine, because that's what he does. 2 Timothy 4, then. If you'd just like to turn to that. And verses 9 to 22. Do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so do Puddins, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit, and grace be with you. I'm going to talk this morning about how to pronounce names. Oh, they had some names, didn't they? But it's important for us, I think, to look at the whole thing of relationships. I want to look at, Paul and his relationships. It doesn't take much as you read through there to see there's an awful lot of names. There's obviously an awful lot of relationships going on there with Paul. And there's also, obviously, relationships that are going on amongst us. Some are very close relationships. Others are relationships where we just touch each other's lives, maybe. But the important thing is that relationships must grow. We can't afford relationships to be flitty-flatter. We must get to know each other. Each of us must seek to get to know each other better. You know, Paul was just showing us, in some respects, the importance of relationship in a church. And you can see that right through his letters. If you look through any of the letters of the Paul writes to the churches, you can see how important relationship is, both with him and him with those that he's actually writing to. But there's also one relationship that Paul holds above all of those things, and it wouldn't take a scientist to understand that it's God's relationship. The one relationship that will never change, and it's the one relationship that we have to cultivate. We have to continually be in a place where we want to know more of God. We have to have our eyes open to who God really is. And our relationship with him has to grow. It has to grow. It cannot be stagnant. Our relationship with Jesus cannot be stagnant. It has to be ongoing. It has to be that more of me gets to know who God is. It doesn't require it the other way, because God already knows you. He already knows everything about you. And so there isn't anything that is hidden from him in terms of that. And he still chooses to relate with you. He still chooses to relate. In all of those problems we have, all the mistakes we made during the week, God still chooses to relate to us. That's so wonderful. You know, that our God would still relate to us. You know, we beat ourselves up sometimes, don't we? And, oh, God, I didn't do this, and I should have done that. And, oh, God, that was an opportunity. And then bang, 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 the guilt thing comes. But God says, I love you. You know, I love you that you even tried. You know, you gave it a go. You know, and that's the God who is for us. And I hope this morning to open up some of that this morning, that how we, you know, Nigel was talking about the 10,000 reasons why. Well, I won't be taking 10,000 reasons why, thankfully, because that could take me the best part of the next 3 years. But this morning, I want to talk firstly about our relationships. And then I want to go on to talk about our relationship with God and how that has to grow. You know, both of them have to grow, you know, and it's important for us to grab hold. You see, each of us, you know, for some of you, this might not be nice, but you have to be people-orientated. You know, we have to be people-orientated. You know, now it's obvious that we won't have a personal, if you like, intimate relationship with everybody that's in this room. But that doesn't mean we can't relate with everybody that's in this room in some way. You know, we can find out about their lives. We can ask them questions. We can invite them round for coffee. There's all kinds of things we can do to be able to relate with these people. You know, and if you've got any idea as in your heart or head to become a leader, then to be a people person is a must. You have to relate with people. And it's not just for leaders. We all have to relate with one another. You know, we can't, in one respect, start choosing who it is in respect of who it is we're going to relate to. Because it's important for us to relate to everybody. Now, relationships are obviously built on trust, love, respect, and understanding. These have to be aspects of any relationship we're in. You ask anybody who's married, if these things are not there, then there's a problem. And there will be a problem. And it's important for us to grab hold of the fact that here Paul is talking about relationships that he's had with different people. And he also says, or understands the importance of if we're all going to be relating one with another, you see, relationships have to be an integral part of any church, of any company of believers. We have to relate with one another. You know, you just can't come into a church and not relate. It's important for us to do that. You know, and if you find it difficult to talk to people, then you've just got to train yourself to maybe take a couple of steps and just say, hi, you know. And for those who that's being done to, you also have to say, hi back. You know, that's what relationships are all about, aren't they? It isn't just about one person, and I'll talk a little bit about that later on. But we have to have relationship with one another. You see, Paul showed us that through his life. If you look at the life of Paul, and Timothy was one of the recipients of a relationship with Paul. But if you look through his life, you can see that Paul, wherever he went, his first thing was to establish the believers. He went into any situation and said, right, let's get you guys founded. Let's get you guys settled. Let's get you knowing what you believe, knowing who God is, knowing who you are. And then from that, you can build relationships, both with God and with each other. And that's how God will. I mean, you look at the letters. Look at 2 Timothy 1, 3, 4, for instance. And this is Paul talking directly to Timothy himself. I thank God, whom I serve, as I remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. How many of us were like that this morning? Oh, I'm going to see that bunch in Wrexham. Or was it, oh, I don't know, it fills me with joy. I'm going to meet Dave this morning. Yeah, I'm going to meet Mike. You know, I'm going to meet Tim. You know, this is going to be good this morning. You know, God's going to be amongst us. But it's going to be good to be with these guys as well because they love God. They praise God. You know, they worship God. You know, and whenever I'm next to them, it's, oh, yeah, God, you know, because I can just sense their heart for God. You know, and that's what it's supposed to be when we're relating with one another. You know, we say, oh, I want to be at church this morning. You know, I want to be with my brother and sister. I want to be open to God. You know, our relationship with God. Oh, change it, Lord God. Grow it, Lord God, you know, that I might know you all this morning. That I might be changed in the way I think about you and the way I think about each other, about others. And then in Ephesians 1, 15 and 16, this is Paul talking to a church. Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And again and again and again, you will see that through Philippians, Corinthians, Colossians. I had to think there for a second. Thessalonians. You know, all of those letters, there will be verses very, very similar to that. So this is a guy who's not only an apostle, but he's relating to people on a personal level and on a church level. And the people loved him. The people loved Paul. I mean, at the beginning, they were scared of him, obviously, because of what he was doing. But when he became a Christian, he met with Christ and was beginning to go out to the Gentiles, he built relationship to the point where people, the book of Acts 20 and 21, we see where the elders of Ephesus wept because they knew they weren't going to see him again. And then in 21, at Tyre, it talks about all the disciples in the area came with their families to see him on his way. I mean, if this guy didn't relate to them, it would have been a case, oh, yeah, see you, Paul. And that would have been it. But no. I mean, I don't know how far it was from Tyre to where they went, but I'm sure it was like us going from here to Prestatyn or something, you know, where they all went down to say, on your way, bruv, you know, Lord bless you, the Lord, you know, go with you wherever you're going. You see, Paul had learned what it was to relate to people and for people to actually, as it were, relate to him. Now, yes, he did have, and it's important for us to have close relationships. Yeah, you know, people like Timothy himself, Luke, and Aquila and Priscilla, you could class those as close relationships that he had. But we won't have a close relationship with everybody. But Paul, like us all, was in the process of becoming, or at least learning, more and more to reflect Jesus in his lifestyle. That's what he was about. How did he show this? Well, he showed it in his love for people, in his care for people, in his desire to benefit all those that he knew. Now, can I encourage you, or even challenge you, when you come to church, will you come to benefit those people that you're actually coming to? Yeah? You know, seek to benefit them. You know, don't come to heap stuff on them. You know, come and say, I want to benefit the people this morning. So I'm going to come and I'm going to be, yeah, how's it going, mate? And if they're down a bit, we'll say, well, turn your eyes to Jesus. He's the one that can help you. He's the great and mighty God. He's the one who can come and heal you. He's the one who can set you free. You know, start to benefit the people that you're with, you know, in your relationship. Because if you're like that, people will want to be by the side of you. But if you're the person who comes along every week and says, when they'll say, well, enjoy your coffee. You know, now I'm not saying that's right, but that's what happens in churches. If you get the moaning minis, then many people won't be the ones that, they won't be the ones people are drawn to. But the people who are excited about God, whose life is growing in God, I think there's a magnetic Holy Spirit drawing that goes on. Because, you know, God starts drawing you. When there's a person who's alive with God, who wants to, as it were, relate to people, then people are drawn to that person. So perhaps it's time for us to ask God for an open heart, that we might see others in a new way. Begin to see each other in a different way. You know, and that sometimes will require you asking questions. You know, coming alongside them at coffee and saying, how's it going? What's in your life? What's happening? You know, there's new babies coming. You know, Dave, not for you, obviously, but that would be a miracle. But no, it's, you know, with your daughter, that's great. It's great news, you know. And it's important for us to know these little things about each other. You know, well, I didn't know about that. That shouldn't be a thing that's said in the church, really. You know, certainly not one of our size. You know, you might be able to say it in a 1,000-seater church. But then if there's something happening in your house group, you should know what is happening. And we should know what's happening in each other's lives. Even if we don't have it personally from the person, then somebody will know. And it's important for us to say, oh, this is great. There's something to rejoice about, something to give praise to God about. You know, so let's share with one another what's going on in our lives. When God does move, you know, what my heart is that we have problems coming to this part, you know, when the word is brought, that we have problems because people are bringing testimonies about how God's moved in their lives, how God's done this and God's done that, and how God's moving amongst us. You know, that would be great to have times like that when we're just hearing how faithful God is, how God has come and done those things. But it does take time to develop relationships. And I just want that to sink in. It does take time to develop relationships. And if any of you are in a marriage relationship, you'll know it takes time to develop that. You know, so that I don't know about you guys, but I know Sheila and I are still finding out things about each other after 40-odd years of marriage. And that's the thing. You know, as you go along in your relationship, you will find that there are new things come up. You know, well, I always thought you liked that, you know, or something of that nature, you know, because I've never said it, that I disliked it. But it's helpful to say, if you don't like something, say you don't like something. But help the relationship along. So to develop a relationship with people is important. But it is also important to say that we do need to have close relationships. We do need to build relationships with people who give us strength. We do need to be with those who profit us inwardly. You know, those who, when we come away, think, oh, that's really been good tonight. You know, and relationships where our spiritual batteries are recharged, you know, and where we can just say, ooh, yeah, I'm really going to seek God. I really sense God was speaking into my life in that meeting when we were with those people. And there will be some of those that we have to sort out. We have to sort out some of those types because we can't just be in flittery relationships. We have to have deep relationships that will challenge us, that will excite us, that will make us think again about who we are, what we are doing, how we can be helpful. You know, it is important to be challenged. And in any relationship, we have to be challenged. So it's good for us to look for like-minded people, like Paul would have done with, say, Aquila and Priscilla. You know, those would have been like-minded people as far as Paul was concerned. You know, people who he could come alongside and really benefit from being with them. And they could benefit from being with him. You see, we need to be givers as well as takers. Any relationship has to be a two-way thing. We can't just be takers and we can't just be givers, because if we just keep giving and keep giving and keep giving, that is going to wear us out. So you can't just be the one who takes all the time in any relationship. We have to be givers and we have to be takers. We need to start thinking, even in the church, we need to start thinking of how would I like someone to act towards me? If I was a visitor, now many of us have been visitors to churches, you know, so just ask your questions. If I was visiting this church, what would I expect from that church? I would want to be welcomed. I'm not going to go into all the kinds of things we could have, but, you know, you need to make people feel right from the word go, this is a good place to be. Because they're interested in me. They want to relate with me. They want to make me feel welcome. Those type of things. So think, perhaps, when there is visitors, what would I like somebody to do at this moment in time? And then be the one who does it, you know? What if you're a person who finds it difficult to have a conversation? Well, it's, you know, if that's the person that you can see and that person is finding, you know that they have a difficulty in having conversation, we'll ask them one answer question. How are you today? Oh, all right. You know, but come alongside them and begin to develop a relationship where you can begin to get them to come out, because most people like that just need urging. They need somebody to come alongside them and just draw it out of them. And then there's the person that might feel on the outside because they're not one of the cliques. I'm not saying we've got cliques here, but all I'm saying is that sometimes there are people, you know, that there's a little grouping. We come and then we go out for a coffee and there's a little grouping. And then there's another little grouping over there. And there's another little grouping over there, you know. But what ought to happen is, if I was that person, I'd want somebody to say, do you want to come and be part of the conversation? Do you want to join our group? You know, because that is beginning to draw people in and make them feel part of what's going on, part of the whole mishmash, if you like, of relationship with one another. And it's important for us to do that. That's just three aspects. There are a number of things you could look at, but perhaps we need to view it from the other side, as if we were the one who was in that position. So we need sometimes to think of others before we even think of our own needs. You know, that I need to catch up with this person, you know. But sometimes we might think it might be better to go and talk with that person for 5 minutes and then later on you can catch up with that person. So it's just prioritizing so that we can start building relationships with one another. Verse 10 in this passage talks about not all relationships last and some of them even disappoint us. But does that mean we don't relate with one another? No, relationships are worth it and are a must. We must relate with one another. Because I believe that when people start relating in a right kind of way, where they're friendly, there's a loving and an open atmosphere amongst them, I believe it provides a foundation for which people can grow and mature and develop. If we will build relationships in that type of way. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16 talks about speaking the truth in love, walking in love. that we grow and we're built up with one another. And that's important because we have to be challenged. Brothers and sisters, we have to be challenged in our walk with God. It's not a cruise. It's a battleship. Okay? We have to be challenged. If I wasn't doing my job in Civilian Street or even in the RAF, I would soon have somebody saying something to me about, you're not doing what you should be doing. And if we're doing stuff in the Christian life that we shouldn't be doing, we shouldn't be surprised when somebody loves us enough to come and point it out to us. You shouldn't be doing that as a Christian. I'm sorry. And don't get offended by it because the guy is trying to relate to you. He's trying to do the best for you. He's trying to profit you. So remember that the next time Nigel comes up and says something because he's seen something in your life that needs to change. And it may be others who will do that. But it is important for us, if we're going to build relationships, we want the best out of that relationship. We want to benefit from that relationship. And we want that person to help us to grow. And that's why it has to be two ways. You see, I can't leave the success of any relationship down to just how I'm treated. Or what am I getting out of it? No, it's about how much am I going to put into it? How much am I going to put into any relationship? It's so that we benefit. So it's not what can I get out of it, it's what can I put into it so that this will benefit people. That's the truth for any relationship we're in. Because we're growing closer together. And as we do that, we have to not be saying, well, I like this relationship because I get a lot out of it. Now the question is, I might do that, but how much am I putting into it as well? Because we must put our own time, if you like, into it. Because it's important for us to have relationships one with another. Paul saw it as very important. And as I said before, you read any of those books I talked about. Romans as well is another one, where you can see how he was relating with people and how people related to him in the ways that I've talked about. So Paul saw that as important. But the most important relationship he saw also, and I want to take it on a step further now, and that is his relationship with God. So vital to any Christian's life is our relationship with God. And if you haven't spent time or don't spend time with God in his word, in prayer, then that's not doing you very good in your relationship. Because it doesn't take a rocket science, again, to actually understand if you don't talk with somebody, then you're not really relating to them, are you? If you're not reading the letters that they've bothered to send to you, then that's not much of a relationship that's going on. And God sent us a load of letters through Paul and through others that we can read and find out what God thinks about us, where God talks about himself, talks about how great it is to know him, what he's done in salvation. You know, those 10,000 reasons why are in his letters. You know, God says, this is what I've done. This is what I've done. Well, if you don't open the Bible, how are you supposed to know what it is that he's talking about? You know, and I'm not putting this on you in a heavy way, but do we want to relate to God? You know, do we want to have the benefit of knowing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the wonderful Prince of Peace? You know, we've looked at these things over Christmas, you know, and I think sometimes we do dull in our response to the wonders of what our God has done. You know, and we do need a kick up the backside sometimes. You know, to say, ooh, hang on a minute. Yeah, perhaps I do need to go back and look at some of these things. Get excited again about what it means. You know, for some of us, we've been Christians for a long time. And you almost lose the wonder of what happened, you know, back there. You know, there was I, wherever I was, you know, and I'm not going into that. I'm not going to give you my testimony. But, you know, I was like I was. And then God saw me and went, hello, this looks like a good one. You know, I've got a purpose for him. Right, let's come alongside him. Holy Spirit starts, uses people who I relate to ask me questions like, you want to come to London and give your testimony? And I'm thinking, what's a testimony? I've never given me testimony in my life before. You know, but I had been basically pretending to be a Christian when I was in the Air Force because I had a Bible and I'd been to Covenanters. They give you that just for being there for 6 weeks. You get a Bible. and I took that. I'm giving you my testimony now, aren't I? anyway, I took it into the barrack block with me, and it was noticed by a scripture reader who wasn't fooled in any way that I was a Christian. But he invited me along to various things, and eventually he invites me to London. And a guy just shares a story about two guys stood on the top of a cliff, both leaning against the post. One turns to the other and says, if this post was to give way and we were both to fall to our death, do you know for certain that you'd go to heaven? And wham, the Spirit of God hit my heart, because I didn't. I didn't know for certain I could go to heaven. And thankfully, there was somebody there who could take me through repentance in a kitchen. And I can't ever remember being out of a kitchen since. But it's something that God does in us that is important for us to begin to understand how faithful our God is. That he came and chose you. You know, in verse 17 and 18, Paul says, doesn't he, the Lord stood by my side and gave me strength. I was delivered from the lion's mouth, which is death, basically. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack. And here's Paul talking about his relationship with God. You know, the God who always stands by him, the one that will never fail him, the one who is faithful to the end. And this is true for us today. It's the same God we're talking about. And it's important for us to understand that God wants us, as it were, to understand and to live in the good of knowing him. Because it is good to know God. It is good to know God. You might not think that in your workplace because all you get is, you know, you're always getting shouted at, if you like, or you're getting wound up about him up there, but you're all right. You know, him up there is with you, you know, or, you know, can you ask him up there about this? And it's some trivial thing. It's not anything that, you know, that you would bother God about, but it winds you up, or it used to with me. I'm retired now, by the way. I just throw that in. But when I was in work, it's not fair to say they all did, but some of them took a lot of joy out of trying to wind me up in my walk with God and what I stood for. And very often my nickname was Vicar. But that didn't particularly worry me because it gave me opportunity to talk to them. So we can, if you like, know the good of what it is to be with God. And we need to know those things in our hearts. We need to have them embedded in us so that when we do meet with people in the world, because the world is trying to take all of the wonder and all of the delight and all the joy we have in knowing Jesus out of our lives. That's what the world's about. That's why it throws things at us to try and take our eyes away. So the more our relationship with God grows, the more and more we realize that he surely is with us. That God surely is with us. But our relationship has to grow. You know, that our boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. Is that true for you this morning? If not, then perhaps you need to look again at your relationship with God. If you don't feel that your boundary lines are in pleasant places, that you've received a delightful inheritance, and what's that? That God lives in you. God lives in you today. God is with you today. That's got to be good. It's got to be good. It's got to be good. Yeah. Don't be British on me, please. You know. If I was saying these sort of things, I mean, I've preached in Africa, you know, and when you're preaching these sort of things, it's almost like you've got to say, shush, you know, because, hallelujah, brother, preach it, brother, you know, praise God, you know, and you're thinking, yeah, we want a bit more of this in England, you know, and in Wales. But it's important for us to understand that our life in God should be stirring up, really stirring up in us emotions. It should be stirring up our emotions. I love this verse. This is my verse, by the way, for 2019. If you want to grab it, then feel free. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. I'm using that as my verse for 2019. That God will open the eyes of my heart that I might be enlightened to know the hope to which he's called me to. So who is it that can reveal Jesus in us? Who is it that enables us to know God? It's none other than the Holy Spirit. He's the one who does those things. He's the one that opens up God to us. That's his function. To open up God and say, look, this is God. And then we're caught, aren't we? The Holy Spirit catches up. You know, when it comes to praise and worship, if you've had God by the Holy Spirit opened up to you, then it may be more a case of, right, okay, stop. Let's stop praising God. We've praised him for the last 2 hours. You know, we need to get on with what God wants to do this morning. You know, it should be more a case of those sort of things happening amongst us where we can't help ourselves praise. You know, we often love praising God in the quiet place, but sometimes we need to do it in a less quieter place. You know, I don't know about you, but I haven't been to many concerts. I have been to one or two. But if I mentioned the people, you probably wouldn't know them. Emerson, Lake and Palmer was one I went to, but most of you won't know what that is. You will. Emerson Lake. You don't know who Emerson, Lake and Palmer is? Oh, well, so you know them.
I do know.
Yeah. But what I did notice about that was, and it's true today, that once the gate is open, then the people are shooting forward to get the best place, right at the front, right where they can see the group. You know, well, I think there ought to be an element of that here. You know, now I know God fills the whole room. I don't have a problem with that. But there should be an excitement in us to say, I want to meet with God this morning. I'm going to meet with God. I'm going to put myself in the place where God can touch my heart this morning, where God can come and change me from the inside out, where God can do a new thing in me, because that's what I want. There's a desire in me for that. You know, you can't hold me back. I'm a deer who's panting for water, because that's what my God means to me. Surely that's got to be what we're going to be. You see, God's going to bring people into this church. Yeah? Yeah?
Amen.
Right. This year, God's going to grow us both in ourselves, but numerically. Do we want to keep those people? Well, be excited about God. You know, hey, you're coming in this morning. Oh, great. Come in here then, because we're going to meet with God. God's going to do things amongst us. God's going to heal people. God's going to save people. God's going to show himself for how big he really is. You know, let's get excited about this God who we talk about. And talk about him out there as well. It's important for us. You know, and if you don't feel excited about that, then look at your relationship with God. I told you I was going to challenge you. Look at your relationship with God, because we do need to look at that. Because if the world has become more important, a new car, a new house, a new this, a new that, have I got the money to do this? Have I got the money to do that? If that's become more important than looking at Jesus, than looking at what God's got to offer, then our perspective has to change. So in the midst of everything that is happening in our lives, we must begin with the help of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's there to help us develop a deeper relationship with God. And if you will say, yes, Lord, I want to do that this morning, I believe a new level of faith will come, a new level of understanding will come, because we're redirecting our hearts. We're redirecting our hearts from focusing on self to focusing on God. And a lot of what was brought this morning through the worship was talking about refocusing, looking again at Jesus, making Jesus the center. And it's easy to use words. I've used loads of words over my lifetime. But words that mean anything require action. We need to act on these things. Psalm 16 and verse 8 says, we must set the Lord always before us. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. So we must fix the Lord always before us. Every day of every hour of every minute of every second, however small you want to go, we must fix the Lord always before us. And go with the Lord into every single day and in every situation, every circumstance. Take the Lord with you, because he's the one that you set before you. As we seek to know more of God through the Holy Spirit, as we seek to know more of his presence, start talking to God when you're walking around. And if people look at you strangely, then tough, because my God is with me. You know, are we more worried about what people think than we are about our relationship with God? You know, are you worried when you go to work and they say, well, what do you do in the mornings? Well, I spend half an hour in prayer, you know, half an hour talking to God. Give over. You don't mean that, do you? Yeah, I do. Because it's vital to me. If I don't do that, if I don't start every day with God, then I've not started it correctly. Because my relationship with him is more important than anything else. So he will enlarge, if we will do this, if we will seek after God with the help of the Holy Spirit, if we'll seek to know God's presence, to live in his presence, he will enlarge our spiritual capacity that is already within us. You see, our spiritual capacity can grow. Our spirit man, if you like, can grow. You know, because, you know, when you first become a Christian, we have the Spirit of God in us. But we have to grow in our knowledge of God. Why do you think you get guys who are moving fantastically in God? It's because their spirit has grown. Because the Spirit of God has opened up who God really is. And they've come into that and are working out of that fellowship that they have with God. Because God calls us, each one, to have fellowship with him. You know, they haven't done anything more than we can do. We, each one of us, you know, we often talk about Smith Wigglesworth and people like that, but they haven't done any more than we can do, because each one of us can relate to God in exactly the same way as they did if we are prepared to pay the price. And when you start using words like price, people start thinking, no, I'm sorry, the Christian life isn't about, I'll just walk into this because God's going to do it for me. No, it requires us putting some sort of effort into it as well. You know, because it's important for us to understand how lives have to change. You know, we are being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And I don't care who you are this morning, you are not Jesus Christ. You might have Jesus Christ in you, but you are not Jesus Christ. So you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I need to change. I need to be transformed. I need to have my mind renewed. And that's true for each one of us in our walk with God. The key to any relationship with God is to respond to Him from our hearts. Yeah? Expressing our love. We love you, Jesus. And not being ashamed to say that sort of thing. We trust you. I have a desire, Lord God, I want to please you because of all that you've done for me. I want to serve you because of the way that you served me. Listen to this one, Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Who of you is a Christian this morning? Oh, I've got one, two. Come on. I'm only asking you to stick your hand up. Who is a Christian this morning? You can do it. Come on, you can do it. Come on. Yeah, look. Then you are in this, yeah? You have been raised with Christ. Now, what does it go on to say? Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. What more do I have to say? Set means to fix. Fix your eyes. Don't have it flippy floppy. Whether I can pick or I can choose, I can pick or choose. No, fix. Fix your heart. Fix your mind on things above. Don't let the world hoodwink you, yeah? Because the world will. It'll try and draw you away. Throws up all these wonderful things. But the aim of it is to turn your eyes away from Jesus. To turn your eyes away from spiritual things, if you like. Things above. So we are to develop within us a true desire to draw close to God. And what I mean by that is we need to grow in God. We need to know God more. Because as we do that, we'll actually grow nearer to Him. Because we'll understand how big our God is. You see, when you enthrone Jesus, when you become a Christian and Jesus is enthroned in your hearts, what it should do is there should be a desire in us to want to know more and more about Jesus. When we understand that Jesus has come to live inside of us, to be with us, there should be a desire that I want to know more of that. So I'm going to put myself in a position where I can know more of Jesus, where He can speak to me, where He can show me who He really is. You know, where that deeper relationship that we do desire, and I know each one of us desires that this morning. You know, if you look deep down, you know, no matter what's going on in your life, you would say to me, yes, of course I want to grow nearer to Jesus. Of course I want to know more of Jesus. But Jesus must be the magnet of our heart. He has to be the magnet of our heart. Our attention every day has to be on Him. It has to be on them. No matter what circumstances or what situations you get into, there is only one that our heart can turn to, and that's Jesus. That's the only one, because He's the one who is faithful. He's the one who's there for us. He's the one who will change that situation. He will change that circumstance. If your desire is to say, God, you're the center of my life, you're everything to me. And if we would do that, if we'd make a decision even this morning to say, I'm going to make a further step of getting closer to God, of making Jesus the center of everything that I desire, I believe the Lord will respond to us when He sees the beginning of a longing for a friendship or a determination for a deeper relationship with Him. Because when He sees that, He responds to it. He can't help Himself. God cannot help himself when we say, God, I want to get close to you, and genuinely mean it. You know, because again, words are cheap unless they're followed by actions. Jeremiah 30 and verses 21 and 22 says, and this is the Lord speaking, I will bring him near and he will come close to me. For who is he who will devote himself to be close to me? I mean, what more of an invitation do you need? What more of an invitation do you need there than what Jeremiah is saying there? The Lord says, I will bring him near and he will come close to me. For who is he who will devote himself to come close to me? Will you make that decision this morning? Will you make a decision to say, yes, Lord, I do want to get closer to you and I'm ready to start doing what I need to do? Just excuse me a minute. I pray for everybody not to have a cold and I've got a nose later. Not that it's a cold, I'm not saying that. I just come against that now in Jesus' name. So to know a deeper relationship with God, it will require each of us spending time with God. Yeah, so you'll need to find time during the day, whatever your best time, to spend time with God. It's important that we do that, that we draw close to him. In other words, have our perspective changed so that we can know him more. There's a story I heard, I shared it with Sheila over Christmas, about a little child who's stood in his back garden, and he turns to his father and says, Daddy, how big is God? And the father sort of takes a deep breath and thinks, how am I going to answer this? And then he looks up in the air and there's a plane going across. And he says to the little one, can you see that plane? And the little one looks up and says, oh, yes, I can. And he said, okay, well, come with me. The father takes him to the airport and he goes out onto the tarmac, and that exact same aircraft is stood there, only now the little one says, wow, how big it is. The aircraft hasn't changed. The aircraft is exactly the same thing. That same one that was out there and looked quite small is now huge. The thing that's changed is the little one's perspective. The aeroplane hasn't changed. It was always that size. But now that he's changed his position and was enabled, if you like, to get closer, to understand exactly what it was he was looking at. And sometimes it can be like that with us. Sometimes we don't fully appreciate the God that we serve. And sometimes we need to change our perspective. We need, as I close tonight, that's not long, is it? This morning, what we need to do is to change our perspective. And that comes from a deeper relationship of finding out who the God that we serve really is. So I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions in a minute, because I wanted, as it were, just challenge you. And I know the questions I've asked are very open-ended. I've done that purposely so that we can all respond, if I'm to be honest with you, so that we can all respond to it, because I do believe, as we begin to step out in this new year, that God wants to do really wonderful things amongst us. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and if your answer is yes, then at the end of it, I'm going to ask you to stand. Now, if it in any way hasn't touched you, then don't stand. But if you feel you want to respond to these particular things, then can I urge you to stand? So here's the first one. Do I want a deeper relationship with God, and do I want to have deeper relationships with one another? That's the first one, which I'm expecting everybody to respond to. Do I desire to have a passion for Jesus? Do I want to really fall in love with Jesus, that he consumes my every thought, that my delight is to be with him every single hour of every day? And do I want Jesus to come close and start working in my life? Do I really want that? So those are the three questions. Now, having said that, how many of you are going to respond with a yes to those things? And if you have got a yes, then can I ask you to stand? Because I just want to pray for each one. But if that's not true for you, don't feel that you have to stand. Because it's not something I'm going to say, why didn't you stand? Because that's not what it's about. It's about heart. It's about what's going on in here, yeah? And just remember that by standing, by just making that choice, I believe you've put a smile on God's face this morning. I believe he's even responding even now to the very fact that you have that desire in you to want to build those things through relationships. And the other thing to grab hold of is there is one who can help us with this, and it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can come and enable us. Once we've made these decisions, when we've made these choices, he will come alongside us and begin to do things in our lives and begin to touch our lives and change our lives, that 2019 could be the greatest year of your life. It could be the most exciting year of your life. You know, it's up to us, brothers and sisters. How much are we going to put in to getting our relationship with one another, our relationship with God, if you like, back on track? Because if we will do that, then there's a great, wonderful vista that can come up before us this year, that we will begin to see God moving in ways that we perhaps have not seen for a long time, or even for the first time. You know, as God begins to release his gifts into each one, because God's got gifts for each one of us this morning. So I'm just going to pray now. I'm going to use Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church, because I believe it is applicable. And this is what Paul prays, and I'm praying it for you guys, right? I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Lord God, I pray that you would come and move in each one of our lives. Lord God, that you take hold of each one of us, Lord God. Lord, in whatever area we need to change, whatever area we need to build new relationships, Lord, whatever we need to do that we might know you more, Lord God, help us, Holy Spirit, help us to actually go forward from today, looking to 2019 with an expectation, Lord God. Lord God, not to just sit back on our laurels, not to sit back and say, well, that was an interesting sermon, but Lord God, that we would make decisions that will affect the rest of our lives. Holy Spirit, come. Come now and begin to work in people's lives. Lord, enable them, Lord God, to draw close to you. Bring them close, Lord God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.